All systems are a go.
It's live. Broadcasting from Manhattan, Kansas. Duo.com.
This week, I hate baseball. So, naturally, I have several stories about it. But I am a big fan of alcohol. And now there's a new and better way to make those college parties and office meetings with coworkers you don't like much more bearable. Plus, if we have time, we'll talk about how science says my sleeping is affecting my relationships. All this and more coming up.
Next hour, you have the privilege of listening to Seth Neiman describe to you the best stories from Earth last week. The countdown has begun. Here's your host, Seth Neiman.
Welcome, everybody, to Hour with Seth, episode number 4, feels like 50. These shows, although they are all the same length, they do all feel like they're getting longer, don't they? But anyway, first new episode with our brand new audio system. So to the untrained ear, it sounds exactly the same, and none of you know what we're talking about. To me, possibly because I have to justify the $500 I spent in upgrading it, it sounds a lot better. So take that for what it's worth. Although I did turn the headphones to a womanly level for everybody, and I always have to have the headphones like blazing my ears off. So every time I sit down for this show, I hear what everyone else is listening to, which I'm too deaf to actually hear. So I have to always lean over and crank the headphones up farther and farther until I rip the knob off. And otherwise, I can't hear myself. And that just is not acceptable, gentlemen. It's not acceptable. Today, we're going to talk about a few things. It was really a slow news week, I would say. For the most part, not a lot happened. A lot of people are in the summer doldrums. You know, I don't know if it's summer yet, but this last week was the last week that I was, or this last week it was the first week that I could actually go out and do something. We actually went outside to like a lake, and it was pretty glorious. There were a couple girls in bikinis, which helped. And also, as I'm recording, apparently today is Easter. So hippity hoppity Easter to all of you people out there. 2 days late, and we do record on Sundays, which allows me to segue nicely into the live stream that we do every Sunday, right about 1 o'clock Central Time. You should check it out, although it is Easter, so I don't blame you if you're not watching today. A lot of Duo hosts and business partners are not attending any festivities, but me and Cameron, we don't have families, lives, or friends, so we're here for you because we need you.
We're goddamn heathens.
We are. Also, we don't believe in Easter. We're celebrating another holiday today, Hitler's birthday.
Happy Zombie Jesus Day.
Yeah, that one's it. Zombie Jesus.
There you go.
I shouldn't repeat this, especially this close to the top of the show, but I'm going to anyway, because we're talking about it. In this building we're in, right off the side of our studio is a church, Calvary Tabernacle, and it is what people in the Midwest would refer to as a black church. Everyone there is mostly, I mean, most everyone there is black, and I'm sure that's a lot of fun. I don't have anything against black people, and I have to say that because of what I'm about to say next. As we were driving by, I was going back home to eat my dinner. We went to KFC and picked it up, and then we were driving back to the house. We drove by the road with the studio, and I noticed how full the parking lot was for the church, and I turned to my girlfriend and asked, do black people celebrate Easter? To which she said, yes, Seth, black people can be Christians too. And that wasn't one of my finest moments. It came out to be a lot more racist than I meant. All I really meant was, should I expect the parking lot to be incredibly full this afternoon? And I should have asked it that way instead of how I asked it, but it's in my head, it's out my mouth, and I would apologize, but I would spend the rest of the hour apologizing for all the things that I've done that I did not mean, but said regardless. Let's change the subject. I always like to open up a little bit before we get into the news about things that happened in my life that I discovered to be very interesting. I discovered something yesterday that I didn't know existed. So, my entire life, my entire adult life, ever since I started driving around 16, I've always used the same type of gas station to fill up my car. It's always been a Quick Shop. I think they're called Quick Shops, and I'm pretty sure they're nationwide. They're part of the Kroger grocery store chain network. So you can use, like, your loyalty cards. Like, ours is Dillon's, but they also have, like, Baker's, and then Kroger's the big one. And you use your loyalty cards, and the more money you spend on your groceries, the higher the discount you get on your gasoline at the Quick Shop that they own. So I've always gone to Quick Shop because I do all my grocery shopping at Dillon's, so it makes sense. Well, yesterday, the lines at the Quick Shop were just crazy long. I don't know if people were, like me, filling up gas so they could go out to a lake or something and have some fun, but I was also so low on gas I didn't want to wait because I wasn't sure that my car would actually make it to when I needed to fill up. So I decided to try out a different gas station. I was just going to bite the bullet. I was going to pay, you know, the extra 5 cents a gallon that it would cost me and go to an old-fashioned, non-Quick Shop-like gas station. Well, I went to a Cinex. So I've never been, like I said, I've only ever gone to Quick Shops. I mean, even when I'm on vacation, I'll search for one of two things. I'll search for a Quick Trip or a Quick Shop, because in Wichita, you had those two. You really had those two choices. And before I moved to Manhattan there, I'd only seen like Shells in like high-end European race car simulator video games. And like, they're here, but I've only ever used Quick Shop or a Quick Trip. And yeah, so I just drove to the nearest gas station. It was a Cinex, which is big, I believe, out in California. Now, the reason I give you this whole background is that I do believe that Cinex is more for me. And I'm going to come off as a self-entitled douche once again by saying this, but they have TVs in the gas pumps. And I feel that the extra $10 I would spend on my gasoline by going to Cinex, I have an SUV. It needs a lot of gas. It's got a big tank. The extra $10 that I would spend at a Cinex as opposed to like a Quick Shop is worth it because I can watch sports highlights and celebrity gossip for the 20 minutes that I'm filling up my tank. It's really boring at Quick Shop. You just stand there and you watch your money float away into space. You know, you turn it over, you just see your money flying away. At the Cinex, you're distracted. You watch Mario Lopez talk about how Simon Cowell is already thinking of having a second baby. And you get to watch Simon Cowell, you know, talk to some idiot reporter about his first baby. Yeah, Simon, do you change the diapers? Well, yes, dear, I change the diapers. Of course I do, you peasant. Oh, do you change even the dirty ones, Simon? All there is dirty ones. Because you don't change a clean diaper. I mean, Simon totally got her. I mean, it's a really vapid waste of my life. But Simon taught her a lesson. And then I watched baseball highlights, and I hate baseball. But the point is that even though on the TV there was absolutely nothing of interest to me, I enjoyed it much more than just standing there at the Quick Shop watching my money fly away. Because even though it was probably $10 more expensive than it would have been at the Quick Shop, it was worth it for the built-in TVs. So I feel that entitled people like me, Cinex gets us. They know that we're willing to spend more money to watch TV while we fill up. And there was no line. Because you know what? All the poor peasants are at the Quick Shop getting discount gasoline. And me, the high roller in my SUV, pulls right up to the Cinex and watches TV as I'm filling up my gas tank. It's brilliant. Please email me at seth@duo.com, DEWOH.com. If there are more things like this, that peasants are currently using and we think it's okay. Like a gas station, and on the other side of the road, there's a gas station with TVs. If there's anything else in life like this, please let me know so I can begin to enjoy it. You can email me, like I said, seth@duo.com, or if you prefer, if you're watching live, which you aren't because it's Easter, you can text me at the number on the screen right here, 505-750-0304. Text me right now. Oh, cool. We got someone who liked their shirt. I don't remember emailing that person. I don't know who that is.
Thanks, Juan.
Yeah. Apparently you have a shirt. Hopefully I mailed it to you and you didn't break in here and take one because that would be awkward. Anyway, let's get down to the news, shall we? Since I've already piddled away half of the first segment. Things that people really care about. I'm going to get some of these small ones out of the way. The studio is developing a sequel to the 1993 hit Mrs. Doubtfire, which would reunite director Chris Columbus and star Robin Williams. David Barenboim, who wrote Elf, is writing the script. No. This is not good. My last memory, and admittedly this may be why it's tainted, when I got divorced, because my son is involved in the divorce, they made both me and my ex-wife attend mandatory co-parenting classes. So you could learn what it was like to share custody. Essentially, what they did is they had a judge come in for 10 minutes and yell at you about what it's like to be a good parent and how, if you're not, you'll end up in his courtroom and he'll send you to jail. We got it. But the other 90 minutes or so of this class was clips from movies. The longest of which was Mrs. Doubtfire. Because as you know, he's a divorced dad who still wants to see his children. So the plot of the movie is that he dresses up as a funny maid and goes to the house so he can spend time with his children cooking and cleaning. As heartwarming as that is, we all know that hilarity begins to ensue. And it's not really the best thing probably to play for a room of distraught, divorced, soon-to-be-divorced parents who are losing their children that, hey, look at Robin Williams. He got divorced and he's happy dressing up as a woman and cleaning the house while his ex-wife is off with some other man. And your children, by the way, don't know you exist. And because you're Mrs. Doubtfire all the time, you have to get undressed and be a regular person. You're always late. And then so your parents, or your kids, who they think you are, is a douche because you're always late to hang out and play with them. But you know deep down inside that you're always there for them as a weird Scottish lady. Anyway, I digress. Doubtfire starred Robin Williams as a struggling actor and recently divorced father of three, who in order to be closer to his children, takes on the persona of a Scottish nanny. By the way, did you know the name of Mrs. Doubtfire? Cameron, do you know the first name of Mrs. Doubtfire? I don't either. Her name is Euphegenia. Euphegenia. Euphegenia Doubtfire. Euphegenia Doubtfire. Hilarity, misunderstandings, and family love ensued to the tune of $219 million domestically and $222 million internationally. Williams won a Golden Globe in the Best Actor in the Musical/Comedy category, while the movie won Globe for the Best Comedy Musical. A sequel has been in the works since 2001 when Bonnie Hunt was tapped to write a script, but despite many drafts and other scribes hired, the project slowly died and has been inactive for years, mainly due to Columbus and Williams not sparking to any new take. The project became active again early this year when Brennenbaum's involvement, and while it's too soon to predict if all the elements will soon come together, Williams and Columbus are attached and hopeful about the outcome. What is a sequel to Mrs. Doubtfire going to even be about? First of all, it's been over 20 years since the last one came out. Their kids are older than me. They're in their 30s now. Is he still going to be? I mean, at this point, his kids are drinking Bud Light Platinum, hanging out at his house and be like, hey, Dad, remember that time you dressed as that really creepy nanny and hung out and vacuumed all day? Yeah, that wasn't okay. I mean, we appreciate the thought, but Dad, that was weird. You know how weird it is when I go to my friend's house and You know, they're like, hey, how was your relationship with your father? You're like, oh, well, we got divorced really young, and then he dressed as a woman for 5 years and vacuumed my house. And he did it secretly, and one time his fake boobs fell off, and that really set the course for puberty for me, and I really wasn't able to get over that until I was 25 when I met a young crossdresser who just reminded me of my dad. And that also wasn't okay. So, anyway, let's see how that goes. In other bad news, the rising cost of food is eating into the bottom line at Chipotle Mexican Grill. The Mexican restaurant still impressed investors Tuesday as revenues surged 24.4% to $904 million during the first quarter. But profit growth wasn't as punchy. Net income at the one-time McDonald's unit... McDonald's spun off Chipotle as a separate company back in 2006. I didn't know that. Did you know that?
Actually, yeah.
It used to be McDonald's?
Well, they're owned by McDonald's.
That's weird.
Same company, yeah.
I wonder if, like, the people who know this... Like, do you think the people who know... like, there's a lot of, like, health nuts who are real into Chipotle.
Oh, yeah.
You think they know that McDonald's is the owner of Chipotle?
You know, and... I don't think so because, like, I really, like, even when I go to Chipotle, I hold it to a way higher standard than McDonald's.
Yeah.
I mean, not only because of what they're serving. I think it's one of those things where, like, you know, it just looks better. Like, when you look in the back of a McDonald's and you see them do their assembly
yes.
sign, they pull a burger out
of like a
weird,
yellow tray.
Yeah, some weird tray or whatever, and they, like, just slap it all together.
Yeah.
Like, and then if you go to Chipotle, all the ingredients are right there in front of you. They look fresh. Who knows how long that rice has been there?
Yeah, we don't know. But it's like farm sourced or whatever.
Sure, whatever they want to say.
I don't know what that means. But
homegrown beef, that 5% that's in those burgers and McDonald's.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right. Whatever
exactly.
The minimum is.
Yeah. The minimum to use the word all.
Right.
10%. Anyway, that's why the burrito behemoth is considering raising their prices later this year. In January, the company official said, "We believe a menu price increase is likely, sometime during the third quarter." Though they also stressed the decision wasn't final, but with little sign that the drought in California's agricultural region is abating anytime soon, there's not much reason to expect that these food prices to decline. So don't be surprised to see a more expensive Chipotle burrito in the future. I don't know what to think about that. I mean, Chipotle is already kind of expensive. Is it really going to kill you if Chipotle is like another 30 cents? Big deal.
I don't know. I mean, like, a burrito is, like, what, $8 now? I wouldn't doubt it. They raise, like, a dollar or two.
But it's still, it's $8 for a burrito. Is there really a difference between $8 and $9?
Yes.
I mean, you either have $8 and you probably have $9, or you have $3, and then you're going to, like, McDonald's.
Well, even then, like, a Chipotle burrito, that's almost two meals.
It is.
That should be two meals. But most of us, like, we scarf it down.
Oh, no. It's a half of a meal for me.
Really?
When I go to Chipotle, I order six burritos.
Well, see. Oh, okay.
Yeah, gotcha. Six of them. Yeah. I just bring in a 50, mm-hmm. and I go, hey, Mr. I don't know who's on the 50. It's one of those Civil War generals.
Screw it.
Yeah. I feel like I should. Grant!
There you go.
That's who's on it. Here's Mr. Grant. Mr. Grant wants some burritos. Mm. And then they just give me some burritos.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay. So I suppose we could take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about baseball. And I guess that'll be exciting. So we'll be right back.
No, we won't.
I'll type that during the break.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
Just hit the iPad. Okay. We'll be right back.
All systems are a go.
It's live. Broadcasting from Manhattan, Kansas. Duo.com.
Howdy, hey everybody. Cameron here for Why Did We Watch That? The show that comes to you every Monday with the best, the worst, and the flat-out strange in film. You can check us out at Duo.com. Duoh.com. Once again, hashtag WDWWT. Find us all over the internet. Facebook, Twitter, sometimes Vine, even Instagram. Why do we watch that? Question I ask far too often.
Buttered cream corn.
This is Duo.
Hey yo, listen.
Broadcasting from Manhattan, Kansas, Duo.com.
Hello, everybody. It's Brandon, the host of The Social Circuit. the new social media show airing on Duo.com every Thursday, where we talk about all the social media news for the last week, week and a half, 2 weeks, whatever I feel like. The funny stuff, the good stuff, the awesome stuff. Every Thursday, catch me, Brandon, on the social circuit at Duo.com. Happy Pain.
Hit it. Live, online radio and TV, Duo.com.
Welcome back, friends. If you were watching the live stream, you saw what I would like to call a patented system of double product placement. So while the audio was advertising for one thing, the video was advertising for another. Delicious and refreshing Coca-Cola brand beverage. It's sloganless.
The only problem is, if anything, now we owe them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Coca-Cola sucks. Don't drink it. If I say the reverse, they don't build
sure,
it.
Sure, right. That's yeah. how that works. But if you want to sponsor us, Coca-Cola, we totally accept that.
Yeah, we would accept any range of monetary value of sponsorship from 1 cent to $100 million. Please, we're desperate. In fact, we'll take free Coke.
Right. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, in fact, that might be better. Because I think a month ago I bought 6 12-packs of Coke and we're out. We love Coke, apparently. Actually, I wanted a water, but we're out of that too. So we drink like fishes around here, and we have problems. Here's my baseball stories. I now have in front of me a list of the most expensive places to propose in Major League Baseball. I don't know anything about baseball, so I'm going to assume these numbers are based on the popularity or prestige of the baseball stadium. The only pro sports teams near to us are in Kansas City, which is technically Missouri. So Kansas actually has no pro sports teams. We do have the Kansas City Chiefs are the hometown football team. The Kansas City Royals are the hometown baseball team. That's not a sport. Hockey isn't a sport. And there's the big four. Basketball. We don't have a basketball team. So we root for the Oklahoma City Thunder in most cases because they're close. Because you can't root for the Nuggets. Anyway. So the Kansas City Royals do not allow proposals. There are 5 baseball stadiums that will not allow you to propose. The Blue Jays, which I believe are in Toronto. The Angels, which I believe are in Anaheim, please don't write me and say the Anaheim Angels aren't in Anaheim or whatever, because I don't know. All right, most of these things I know from Adam Sandler movie references or Jimmy Fallon movie references, and they could be 10 years old and they could have changed places. I don't know. I don't watch baseball. Your sport's ridiculous. Kansas City Royals do not allow it. Baltimore Orioles do not allow it. And the New York Mets, although I don't think anyone goes to their games, so what would be the point, do not allow it. The cheapest place to propose. So, if you are going to propose to your girlfriend in a baseball stadium, which, by the way, she'll say no, don't do it, because it's a baseball stadium, it's tacky. The cheapest place to do it is at Pittsburgh for the Pittsburgh Pirates, a 40 spot, 220s. It's actually only $39, dollar back on a 40. The cheapest place to propose. However, there are 3 others that are $50. The Atlanta Braves, the Colorado Rockies, and the Cincinnati Reds are all $50 to propose. At that amount of money, I would assume lots of people would do it, because that's actually really cheap, $50 to propose. As we get up here, I mean, the prices just start to jump substantially. And you'll see what I mean here in a second, after I take a drink of this cold, refreshing Coca-Cola. That's their slogan. It's ah. If you go to ahh.com, and actually I think you can add up to 16 H's to that, you'll always go to Coke website. That's a true story. Try it out. Marketing. It works. Coke send us money. For $55, you can propose at the San Diego Padres or at the Chicago White Sox games. For $75, the Detroit Tigers. For $85, the Oakland A's. And then we start to get into the triple digits. For For some reason, the Mariners think that they're worth more than the Yankees at $115, while the Yankees are at $100. That makes no sense. And then they really start to jump. So we haven't really gone that far. We've gone from 40 to 115. That's not too much of a difference. However, now we're going from 115 to 175 to the San Francisco Giants. Then we go from 175 to 200, Texas Rangers, 250, the Milwaukee Brewers, the Arizona Diamondbacks. Then the crown jewel, the Boston Red Sox, $350. The Cincinnati Indians, who are for some reason still allowed to be racist, $400. The Marlins, I'm going to assume that's Miami. Let's just say it, $500. The Astros are also $500. The Tampa Bay Rays are $500. Some of the smaller ones, Philadelphia Phillies are $450. The Chicago Cubs, Matthew's favorite team, is $175. The Minnesota Twins are $209. However, there are two teams that think they're worth over $1,000 for you to propose to your honey there. Number two is the Washington Nationals. $1,500 to propose to your girlfriend at a Washington Nationals game. That's ridiculous. However, compared to the Los Angeles Dodgers, $2,500 to propose at a Los Angeles Dodgers game. So now I know why Kanye rented out the SF Giants stadium, because it was only $175, where the LA Dodgers are $2,500. Of course, you could save yourself a lot of money and just drive to Oakland for $85, or, you know, you could, I guess the Angels don't allow it, so just save yourself some money and, you know, go to Oakland or take a little trip and save yourself a lot of cash, because it's not really worth it. Like, oh, he proposed to me at a Dodgers game. I mean, is that really any different than, he proposed to me in Oakland? Okay, don't answer that question, obviously. It's a lot different. Changing gears to something police are searching for a 2-year-old child, Chasen Bassinio. They knew it was a race against time to find this missing child who had reportedly disappeared from a supermarket car park. The local judge opened an inquiry for kidnapping and sequestration, and police divers dredged a lake, fearing the child may have drowned. As days passed without any leads or clues, Detective at Moulins in the Auvergne. I should pre-read these and make them up. Detectives at New York City Center for Detectives prepared to warn relatives who had alerted them that they could find no trace of the boy. But when they reached out to the relatives, they found out that, in fact, Chasen Bassinio and his parents only existed in the virtual world of social media. That wasn't as dramatic as I hoped it was.
Well, I enjoyed it, but I also enjoyed that there's a center of detectives for detectives.
Oh, it's detectives at the Moulins in the Auvergne.
Ah.
I just changed it to the New York Center for Detectives because I don't know how to pronounce that word.
That's better, though.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, they should. I mean, it's all made up anyway.
All right, science. Yeah.
Police had found photographs, allegedly, of the boy and his father, Rian Bassinio, 20, on Facebook, but absolutely no evidence that they were real. Eric Muzad, the public prosecutor, said the investigation had changed, but charges would be made. The inquiry for kidnapping and sequestration has obviously been redirected into one of a reporting an imaginary crime or offense. It was long and complicated, but we can now say that the young Chasen had never existed, and nor existed did his father and his mother. It would help if my fingers worked. The boy was reported missing on Friday by a woman who claimed to be the boy's great aunt. She told officers that she had last seen the child the previous week near a supermarket and believed he had been kidnapped. She told detectives that Bassinio and the boy's mother had separated and she had no idea who they were. Detectives continued to search for the boy, but became suspicious after noting inconsistencies in her story. The woman, who has not been named, is now in police custody. She faces up to 6 months in prison and a $7,500 fine if found guilty of inventing a crime. Police said that her teenage daughter and cousin, both minors, coal miners, that was terrible, who are believed to have set up the false Facebook account and pirated pictures from other accounts on the site, were also being questioned. Sadly, this is a very modern-day story. Someone decided to create false Facebook accounts and take pictures from real accounts to feed the false accounts and make these people seem real, Muzard added. He said the imaginary family had been created several months ago. We don't know why someone decided to make a false report. We are currently trying to work out a motive. Either that person has a psychological problem, or there were other purposes behind it. Such as revenge. That, how does a detective search for a kid and his family for days without realizing that he's made up? There's something wrong with the police work being done, if that's the case. Days is a long time to not hear from a mom or a dad of the missing child. I'm not a cop, but I feel like that's something you would just figure out almost immediately, that the kid didn't actually exist. And in this ever-increasing world of things being duped, for all I know, that could be a Jimmy Kimmel prank. Should really look into that. It's probably the first question you should ask. Are we sure this kid exists some places other than social media? If you're not sure, find that out first. Now back to baseball news. Mr. Met, the mascot for baseball's saddest franchise, received a stern warning from Secret Service in 1997 when President Clinton visited Shea Stadium. Secret Service said, "Approach the president and we go for the kill shot." Apparently, Mr. Met was played by A.J. Mass at the time, and he recounted the death threat in his new book, Yes, It's Hot in Here, Adventures in the Weird Woolly World of Sports Mascots. I bet that's a fun read. On April 15th, Bill Clinton attended the game to honor the 50th anniversary of Jackie Robinson's first appearance in the majors. "The holy grail for all mascots," A.J. Mass said, "a photo op and meet and greet with a sitting president." However, the mascot would never get his photo op. Secret Service agents approached him before Clinton arrived and told him to stay away from the president. Secret Service said, "We have snipers all around the stadium, just in case something were to happen. Like I said, do whatever it is you normally do. But if you approach the president, we go for the kill shot. Are we clear?" The agent then repeatedly and reportedly said, while looking into, quote, "Mr. Met's very soul with his blank, unblinking stare, approach the president and we go for the kill shot. Are we clear?" Mass wrote that the first agents had suspicions when he failed to get Mr. Met's giant head through security without setting off the metal detectors. So what happened in 1997 is that they made the mascot costume go through Secret Service security, and its massive head kept setting off metal detectors. So from then on, the Secret Service just assumed that Mr. Met was a bomb, and that if he got too close to the president, instead of, you know, pushing him back or something, they would just snipe his brain in front of all the children at Shea Stadium. Because that sounds reasonable. Although apparently it scared this guy silly.
America.
I wonder if there's a mascot out there that people wouldn't care if it got killed. I mean, I don't know. Could just see some mascot running around out there. Pfft. Yeah! I don't know. It could happen, I suppose. This is a national story. And the first time I read this story, I thought it was absurd. And then I thought, why would they do this? And then I thought, ew, gross. So everyone probably now has heard about the water reservoir in Portland, Oregon that some boy peed into. Basically, they have 7.5 million gallon reservoir at Mount Tabor in southeast Portland. 38 million gallons from a different reservoir at the same location will be discarded. So they're going to throw away 38 million gallons of water, treated water, already treated, because a 19-year-old boy urinated in the reservoir and videotaped it and put it on YouTube. David Shaft, who is the Bureau Administrator, the Water Bureau Administrator in Portland, said the basic commandment of the Water Bureau is to provide clean, cold, and constant water to its customers. And the premise behind that is that we don't have pee in it. However, science says that urine poses little risk. Animals routinely deposit waste without creating a public health crisis. But Chef says he doesn't want to serve water that was deliberately tainted. He says, there is at least a perceived difference from my perspective. I could be wrong on that. But the reality is our customers don't want any drinking water that's been contaminated by some yahoo who decided to pee into a reservoir. Water quality samples have been taken from the reservoir with the results due Thursday, and the water will be drained into the sewage system, eventually reaching a treatment plant before it's dumped into the Columbia River. In the meantime, Schaff says the city has plenty of water. It's easy to replace those 38 million gallons of water, Schaff said. We're not in the arid Southwest. We're in a not in drought-stricken parts of Texas or Oklahoma. We're in Portland. It rains all the time here. So, I got to thinking about this, and I'm like, all right, it is kind of gross this kid peed in it. And for some reason, the perception is nastier because you saw the dude, you know, tinkle into 38 million gallons of water. Now, 38 million gallons of water, even if this kid drank 14 Code Red Mountain Dews before he urinated into the water, his urine would not be enough to affect the reservoir in any way. So reality and logic would tell us it doesn't matter. Let him pee. Our hearts tell us that's nasty. And then I started thinking about all the other things that happen in these public reservoirs, like animals peeing in it, birds falling out of the sky dead into our water. We drink all of that. If there's dead birds in our water, I think this kid's pee is going to be all right with us. At the same time, can you waste water? Does water ever disappear? Like, food can be wasted. If you cook a delicious steak, eat half of it, throw it out, you're never going to get that half of the steak back. So I guess the question is the money and the resources of treating the water and the man hours required to, you know, fill up the tank or flush the tank or whatever that is. I don't know how that all works. So I guess that's a little wasteful. But at the same time, why don't they just gate in the water and put a roof over it, and then deer can't pee in it, birds don't die in it, all this junk that happens in our water, we don't have to worry about. I don't know. Maybe that's why I'm not in the government, because I have good ideas. But I feel like there's a lot better ways to protect your 38 gallons of treated water if a 19-year-old can just mosey on up and pee in it. Thanks, Obama. All right, we're going to take a break.
Hit it. Live, online radio and TV, duo.com.
Good afternoon. This is Seth from the show Hour with Seth. My show every week is about an hour long. In fact, it's exactly an hour long. And you get to spend it with me, and we talk about all of the newest buzzworthy stories on the internet. And by we talk about it, I mean I talk about it and you just listen. I mean, I hope that you enjoy it. What am I talking about? Of course you do. Hour with Seth, every Tuesday on Duo.com.
Duo.com.
Well, it's time again, ladies and germinators. It's time for you and me to get together. Pull up a rocking chair, a milk crate, a footstool, anything that you might have handy, because you are about to be exposed to this next fine, super fine installment of Rants from the Barn. Rants from the Barn here at Duo.com, coming to you every Tuesday.
This is Duo.
Hey, yo, listen.
Broadcasting from Manhattan, Kansas, Duo.com.
Whether you spoon or sleep back to back is an indicator of how happy and satisfied you and your partner are. Science, once again, ruins my relationships. According to a new studio, the word study is actually the word that I was supposed to read, and instead I said studio, because I'm brilliant. According to, what's up? It's time for an hour of Seth weather alert check. Nothing's happening. Cameron is willing to go live outside on location where I can't turn him off and I have to listen to him. Sounds like a great deal for me. I'm going to talk about this. I don't know why the breaking news played. Probably because it's by this one. Now I know why you get distracted by those. According to a new study, spooning with your partner really does say something about your relationship. Researchers from a very distinctive institute, the University of Hertfordshire, surveyed 1,000 people and found that couples who maintained physical contact while they slept were more likely to report being happy in their relationship. No way. An overwhelming 94% of couples who touch while sleeping said they were happy, while only 68% of couples who didn't touch while snoozing expressed being satisfied. So what this scientist has now proven is that people who like each other tend to touch more often than people who don't, even instinctually. Man, I'm glad we spent money on this study. Physical distance while sleeping seemed to translate into emotional distance. Of the 12% of couples who slept with less than an inch of separation from their partner, 86% of them said they were happy. For couples who slept more than 30 inches apart, who has a bed with that much room to spare? That's almost 3 feet. Only 66% of those people said they were happy, but they had the best night's sleep of their lives on their California King mattresses. That last part I added. This is the first survey to examine couples' sleeping positions, and the results allow people to gain an insight into someone's personality and relationship by simply asking them about their favorite sleeping position, said Professor Richard Wiseman, a psychologist at the University of Hertfordshire. You can't make this up. And study lead. The research was presented at the Edinburgh International Science Festival. The most popular sleeping positions for couple were back-to-back. Hello. With 42% doing so, 31% slept facing the same direction, also known as the creepy position. If I woke up in the middle of the night and I opened my eyes and I saw another person's face 1 inch from my face, first thing I would do is poo, and the second thing I would do would be scream, and the third thing I would do would be break up with that person. In that order, 31% slept facing the same direction and 4% slept facing one another. So, spooning, it's 31%. 42% was back-to-back. 4%, the poo, scream, breakup position. Interestingly, the more outgoing one is, or the more outgoing one is, the more likely that person is to sleep closer to his or her partner. And creative types tended to sleep on their left. I sleep on my right. Makes sense. That's why I make money, not art. Oh, it didn't work. See, I'm not creative because I can't get thunder and lightning to play because my fingers are too big. Boo. So, the next time you want to add some satisfaction to your relationship, consider scooting a little closer. You can always do the hug and roll later. I don't know what the hug and roll is. That's the last line in this article, and they just throw it in there like we're supposed to know what the hug and roll is? Is that sex? I don't know. It sounds like a delicious treat from Hostess is what it sounds like to me. Yes, I'd like 5 Hagen rolls. All right. I have 2, well, technically I have 3 stories left. This last part of my prep right here is one story because this is a BuzzFeed article and I just copied and pasted and printed it. And it's 35 pages long. I wish someone would go on BuzzFeed and figure out how much paper it would take to print BuzzFeed, because it's got to be a lot of paper. So I have 3 stories left, but there's 15 minutes left in my show. I have one story we have to talk about because I don't think Cameron's heard of it. Because if Cameron had heard of it and he didn't tell me, our friendship may have to be over. Because this is the greatest thing to happen to me and Cameron's lives since we discovered boobies. All right?
Yay, boobies.
Yes,
I'm
boobies are great.
I'm excited for this, actually.
All right, we're going to wait. Okay. I'm going to read something about pay first. Because thanks, Obama. Sorry, I had a little bit of Coke in my throat. So they pay me if I like Coke, and they don't pay me if I don't like Coke?
They really can take it both ways.
Coke is delicious, and it kills me.
Yeah. Money.
Or not. Depending on which executive watches the show.
Exactly.
Chief executives of companies in the Standard & Poor's 500 stock index made an average of $11.7 million last year. The average production and non-supervisory worker in that same 500 stock index made $35,239. That means that CEOs are paid 331 times more than the average worker, according to a report released this week by AFL-CIO, a Federation of Trade Unions. The difference may be shocking, especially in the face of a shrinking American middle class. The U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission recently said that it wants companies to disclose CEO worker pay ratio. But does such information make any difference? Some observers, such as Bloomberg View columnist Matt Levine, doubt that the SEC proposal, if implemented, will lead shareholders to rise up in anger. As he wrote last year, shareholders are not generally in it for the workers, and the transparency might actually encourage them to offer execs a raise if they're coming in lower than competitors. The AFL-CIO has been publishing reports since 1997, and this rate years of growth is down 354 times last year, due mostly to lower interest rates, moderating executive pension plans, rather than to any CEO's salary reduction. Bloomberg BNA reported that, but it's still up dramatically from 30 years ago when execs earned 46 times more than the average worker. The gap widened even as worker pay increased 136% since 1983, which equals the rate of inflation. CEO pay jumped 1,603%, according to the numbers from the group. And an even starker comparison, they estimate that CEOs made 774 times more than those who worked for minimum wage last year. And the minimum wage debate is heating up, but it remains to be seen if outrage is square, blah, 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 things about whatever. Okay, so what this article, the only reason I brought this article up, because everyone knows CEOs make more money than the average worker. And as a capitalist Jew, good. That's controversial, but these people, if they can make their money, this is America. Okay?
America.
What I thought was interesting about this is that the people who studied this said no one cares. So why do we keep making these articles if no one cares? Look at this chart, okay? The pink one, I'm going to get real close here. The pink is the average worker's salary. Focus. And the black is the rate of the CEO's increase in pay. There's basically, the pink one doesn't move because it moves so little, and the CEO's looks like someone climbing Mount Everest. But no one cares. Shareholders are not generally in it for it, the workers. In fact, they may encourage the company to offer the execs a raise if they're coming in lower than the competitors. My CEO only makes 100 times more. When this CEO makes 150 times more, let's give him a raise. America! 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 F yeah! Come and save the mother of a day, yeah!
America!
Happy Easter. Like I said, I just really wanted to bring that up because I thought it was hilarious that the guy said no one cared. And also so we can sing America, F yeah, from Team America, World Police, which is a great movie. If you haven't seen it, you got to go check that out. Now, with no further ado, tonight's top story. There's this new product on the market called Palcohol. It's alcohol, but with a P in front of it. The P stands for powder. Yes, friends, someone has invented powdered alcohol that you can add to anything. You can pour it on steak. You can put it into water. You could snort it up your nose.
This is amazing. I don't know what else to say.
This is the greatest invention ever in the history of man. Finally, you can make iced tea bearable by adding any concentration you prefer, slow speed or hard alcoholic speed, of this powdered alcohol. It's 58% alcohol by weight in 100 milliliters. So it's basically, it's almost like Capri Sun for adults, where you just kind of squirt it in. It's a booze-filled pouch, as this cheeky copy says, designed to turn every Chuck E. Cheese trip into a party.
Oh, my God.
This isn't some pie-in-the-sky wacky idea. This has been approved and is hitting the market. It's important to note that the powder can be used in drinks or on food. Maybe you're a college football fan. So many stadiums don't even offer to serve alcohol. What about watching football without drinking? That's criminal. Bring Palcohol in and enjoy the game. Palcohol even talks about it on their website, some of the uses you can do. Quote, "Let's talk about the elephant in the room, .. Snorting Palcohol. Yes, you can snort it. And you'll get drunk almost instantly because the alcohol will be absorbed so quickly in your nose. Good idea? No. It will mess you up. Use Palcohol responsibly." I don't care how much this is. This is something I need in my home.
We got to do a live show where we bring this in and I snort it off the table.
And we've got to remake Scarface.
Oh, yeah.
With Palcohol.
Kids, don't try this at home. Snorting alcohol may cause extreme danger to your health and life.
Every once in a while, there's something in the world that changes everything. Fire, round wheels, pyramids probably changed a lot of things. A sliced bread is often one people refer to.
Radio.
Radio is sure. It's a biased answer. Some would say TV would be better than radio, but I'll tell you what, TV never saved any lives during World War I.
Boosh.
Yeah. Palcohol trumps all these things. Because, you know, alcohol also saved lives during World War I. It saved lives during the bubonic plague. I'm sure Jesus drank it on Easter. Well, he didn't drink it on Easter because Easter is based around Jesus. I don't know. He might have rose from the dead and then got a big old bottle of wine.
Well, right. And there's all this talk about, you know, this is my blood or whatever.
Yeah. Jesus would have loved powdered alcohol.
Right. Much better than drinking his own blood. That's weird.
Right now, there's this much Coke left. I would love to put Palcohol up to here and just go ham for the last 7 minutes of my show. You would like it. Cameron would like it. I'd like it. America.
America.
The box here looks real legit, as you can tell. It just says Palcohol, powdered alcohol. The words are kind of small, but it says, how to use this packet of Palcohol. Mix in this pouch. Use this pouch as your glass. Fill it with water to about 1 inch below the top. Add a flavored powder, and stir. Or you can add your favorite mixer to this packet and stir. To mix in another container, pour the Palcohol into the container, add 5 ounces of water or mixer, and stir. The colder the liquid, the longer it takes to dissolve. Once dissolved, add ice and enjoy. The finished drink is compared to one standard mixed drink. Visit Palcohol.com for more ideas on how to enjoy Palcohol. So a good person would have done this before the show, but we are now going to go to Palkahol.com to find out how much it costs to order Palkahol. If I spelled Palkahol right, that would help. Looks legit. Let's see here. Mark Phillips created it. Thank you, Mark. Let's see. Sorry, I'm scrolling. I'm trying to find it. When will it be available? We expect it to be available for sale this fall. No samples will be released ahead of time. And lastly, we want to emphasize again, when Palkahol is available, to use it responsibly and legally. Can Palkahol be added to food? I suppose so, but you're not adding flavor to the dish, just alcohol. Yeah, that's the point! Hello! Palkahol is a new product. We have yet to explore its potential being added to food. You have to add Palkahol after a dish is cooked, as the alcohol will burn off if you cook with it. As always, please use responsibly, and because it adds alcohol to the dish, do not serve the dish to minors. This gives a whole nother meaning to, like, pot brownies. What if you made pot brownies with Palkahol in it?
It's a double downer. Like I think you'd just be like...
There's so many applications. What? There's so many applications. This could go terribly wrong.
Very quickly. Like, it's gonna be on the market next day, off the market, because people like you and I are gonna be snorting Palkahol.
We gotta go get stockpiles of this stuff. Because you're right, they're gonna take it off the market. It's like that cocaine drink. Did you ever have that?
You mean Coca-Cola in the 40s?
No. There was a drink called cocaine. And it came in a Red Bull can, same size and shape, real long and slender, and it contained the amount of caffeine of 3.5 Red Bulls in one can.
Holy cow.
Well, it was very hard to get. Me and Colby bought a 12-pack, and we made Matthew drink 6 on an episode of the Seth and Colby Show. It was grand. And it burned, like, because the amount of stuff in it, it burned your throat. And so it never caught on, and so now it's off the market.
Ugh.
But it was great for caffeine addicts. Because we could drink 2 cans of it and just go crazy. Cocaine with Palkahol in it, even better. There's just nothing in this world I can't think would be not made better. There's Pop Secret over there on the table, on our snack table. Who wants butter when you can pour Palkahol on it?
That's right.
We got to open a restaurant with Palkahol-themed things. There's so many applications we could have for Palkahol, and I could talk about them all day, but I can't because my show's over.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
It is.
Well, but here, real quick, before you go any further, I need your reaction on this photo.
Oh, my. That is a lovely woman.
Yes, it is.
Do we know her?
No.
We should meet her.
We should definitely meet her. I don't even think you can show that on camera.
That's
up to you. There you go. Huh?
All right. YouTubers. I'm going to show this to the camera. I'm going to count down from 3, and on go, I'm going to show the picture, and you pause it, and you'll look. Okay? 3, 2, 1, go. All right. Hope you got it. Me and Cameron will be staring at that for a while after the show.
Yeah. Yep.
Anyway.
Salmon.
So, speaking of YouTubers, every show we do is live and on videotape! Sundays at 1 o'clock p.m. Central Time at duo.com/live, duoh.com/live. If you can't watch it live because it's Easter or because it's a Sunday, well, you can check it out later on youtube.com/duotube. Of course, you can also just go to the homepage of duo.com. This is the easiest thing to do. Just go to duoh.com and look at all the variety of shows that are there, including Hour with Seth, and you can look at me in iTunes, leave me a review, and subscribe. You could also watch every video of every episode, and then there's a big flashy live button at the very top of the page where you click, and you can watch all of Duo's array of shows right there anytime you feel up to it. If you'd like to email me, you don't, but if you would like to, the email address is seth@duo.com, seth@deewoh.com. You're going to wear out that H key. And if you'd like to send hate mail, Cameron loves it, send it to cameron@duo.com. This has been Hour with Seth. episode number 4 is now in the can. How much longer can we possibly do this? It's got to be over soon. Please, God, let it be over soon. All right, well, I'm going to go on Amazon and pre-order some alcohol. I'll see you guys next week.